Okay, we can go to the next verse, which is further expansion, very much connected to this verse. Very connected and very nice.
Udasin vadasin, udasina vadasinah. Gunairyo na vichalyate. Guna vartanta ityeva. Yo vatishthati nengate.
Udasinavat asinha. Udasinavat, as though indifferent. Asina, stationed. Asina means sitting. As though indifferent. Gunai yaha na vichalyate. Yaha means this individual. Gunai, by the gunas. Here the third case, instrumental case is used. By the gunas, he is na vichalyate. He is not disturbed. You know, say vichalit ho gaya. Even in Hindi, they say vichalit. So, vichalyate, he does not get disturbed by the gunas. Why? Guna vartanti. Gunas are acting. My body, mind and intellect are acting according to sattva, rajas and tamas. Iti eva. He knows that the gunas are going to be there and my body, mind and intellect are going to work based on the predominant guna. Yaha avatishthati. Avatishthati means he is firmly established in the truth. Na ingate. He does not get disturbed. He does not get, does not deviate from his unclear understanding. It's like once you have grown up, then, you know, the childhood foolishness is, some people, you know, still keep repeating it. But supposing you have truly grown up, then will you repeat that same foolishness? You know, like we used to do till 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, play cards. I remember in medical college, all kind of crazy things we used to do. And some people still do it. But hopefully, if you have studied and learned, then you won't repeat that same mistakes. So similarly, this wise person does not repeat the mistakes, but sees that and he's established in the knowledge. Indifferent people understand as no likes and dislikes. And that is true, you know, because most of us are under the influence of likes and dislikes. I like this, so I like this, so I'm going to eat a whole box. And I don't like it, so I'll run away from it. I like this person, I'll do anything. I don't like this person, even though the person may be good. But once I get the idea in my mind, I don't like this person, then the person may do anything, people may say. So we are constantly under the influence of likes and dislikes. We run towards what we like, we run away from what we dislike, and then we are... So you mean to say this wise person has no likes and dislikes? He's like a stone, you know, like a patthar, he's just standing. Okay, you throw flowers, no difference. You throw stones, no difference. Is he like a stone? Is he unaffected? Is he his heart of stone? No, what they mean by that. In fact, the wise person, his heart is more compassionate than the rest of us because he or she sees myself in all. That's why you look at the life of Mother Teresa, you look at the life of Mirabai, you look at the life of, you know, Tukaram and all these great saints, their heart was always full of love and compassion for all. They always served the world. They always helped. So what do they mean by going beyond likes and dislikes? What they mean is that, suppose I get something which I like and I'm still, you know, at our level. So I am so happy. I go around telling the world, I got this. I am so happy. And I go dance and jump and joy and I share my joy with everybody. And then I'm so happy and all my energy is used up. And then suddenly now life, you know, gives me a blow, which happens to everybody. Nobody always gets what you like. You get something you dislike. Oh, why did this have to happen to me? And then I lie down on the bed, you know, with taking 2 aspirin and a heating pad on my forehead. I have a headache. Why? Because I got something I dislike. And all my energy I already dissipated when I was enjoying the things. So a wise person knows that likes and dislikes will be there. One day I get things what I like, and one day I do. But for you people like you and me, when I get things I like, when I'm happy, but when I get things that I don't like, then I go into depression. And that's what the statistics actually are, that 25% of people in this country are depressed. This is official statistics. Out of, say, 250 million or 230 million, 12.5% are actually depressed and on pills, actually maybe more. And then an equal number of 12.5% are subclinically depressed. But they have some depression, some sorrow, some problems. Maybe they may not go to the doctor, they go to their minister or go to their priest, or they just handle it. But 25%, actually it may be even more, there are, because the statistics sometimes don't reflect people who are actually depressed and not taking medicine. So that's why the number one pills prescribed in this country are antidepressants. Why? Because people are expecting something. It's like Ramakrishna Paramhans says that if you go to a mango tree and expect coconuts, you will be disappointed. And then we keep cursing the mango tree. Why is it not giving me coconuts? Why isn't that is what we do with the world. We expect the world to give us happiness. And that's like expecting mangoes from a coconut tree. If you expect the world to give you happiness, you will be disappointed. Because the world will never give you happiness. Everybody is interested in their own happiness. If they give you a little happiness, it is because they expect something in return. This whole world is like a business. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to stop loving people or whatever. But they say, do not be a beggar. Because what we do, we stand on the roadside and beg, you know, oh, my husband, please give me a little happiness. My boss, please give me a little happiness. My child, please call me, then I'll be happy. So we are begging for happiness from the world. Wise person says, world, you can throw anything at me. I am ready. Because I know that one day you will give me joys and second day you will give me sorrows. But I am fine because I have understood. Munirna vyamoham bhajati guru diksha kshatatama. His ignorance has been removed by the guru's knowledge. So he says, it's okay. World is ek din joy, ek din sorrow. They're like two sides of the coin. You know, one side is joy. One, you cannot say, I only want heads to come all day. When you flip the coin, there's a 50% chance you will get heads, 50% chance you will get tails. So 50% chance the world will give me joy, 50% chance it will give me sorrow. But I am neither of those, because I am this Atman. I am this consciousness, the self. I'm playing the part of this body. Last week I had said it. It's so beautifully it is said. I'll repeat that. It's one of the best saying. You should write it down. He says, we are not human beings undergoing a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings undergoing a human experience. So we are, all of us are this spirit, this consciousness, who at this moment are undergoing a human experience. And as a part of the human experiences, the body will get old, the mind will suffer, the intellect will be insulted, the vasanas will, you know, will put their sorrows upon me, but I am the Atman, I am the spirit. Once having understood, then he goes beyond likes and dislikes. See, then there is no reason to be depressed. You look at Swami Chinmayananda, always cheerful, always laughing, always joking. Even when he was in the final stages of his heart, when his heart was working only 15%, I have seen him. Literally, he could not walk. He had to be taken by a wheelchair and he could only breathe with oxygen. He had literally 10 to 15% of left ventricular function. And I have seen him with my own eyes where he would not even be able to breathe. And interestingly, in those days, they used to close the curtain because they didn't want the people. So he would walk onto the stage. They would put him physically on the seat to speak and they would open the curtain. And the moment the curtain would open, he would become a dynamic figure. An hour and a half, he would talk with so much force. It's like, was this the same person who couldn't breathe a minute ago? And then the moment the curtain would be closed, I have seen him, he would collapse, become cyanotic, become blue. They have to give him oxygen. So, but for that hour and a half when he was speaking, nobody in the audience knew that he was that sick. And I've seen that. I was behind the stage. So what I'm saying is these people go beyond the body, because they say body, though, it's meant to go. You know, body is meant to perish. Why should I be so attached to the body. You and I, we get so attached. Oh, what will happen if I die? So if you die, so what? You are not this body anyway. They are just a pair of clothes. You just drop it and put on a new pair of clothes. Makes you go beyond death. That's what we had talked in detail last week. So he says, it's like, say you have, you used to live in a $20,000 house, you know, small little house, and then you won the lottery, became very rich, or whatever, you sold your internet company. Now your house is worth $2 million. You bought a $2 million house. Now, when you pass by the $20,000 house, will you say, oh, I wish? No, you say, okay, at one stage I was there, but now I am, you know, grown. So similarly, a wise person says, at one time, yeah, I was doing all these foolish things, but he has gone beyond that. Not only that, but his mind becomes very still. His mind does not fluctuate. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is very beautiful. In the 6th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Yata dipo nivatastho nengate sopama smritaha yogi no yata chittasya yunjato yogam atmanaha. He says, just as a lamp, now if it is put in a place where there is wind, obviously the lamp will flutter. But say you put it in a place surrounded with a chimney where there is no air coming, or in a room where there is absolutely no air, how the lamp is still and straight. So a yogi's mind is like that. The winds of the vasanas may affect you and me, but a yogi, his mind is so still, never wavers, just as a lamp does not waver. So his mind becomes totally still because it is always centered upon the self. And whatever is happening in the world, he watches like a witness. Swami Chinmayananda, in his commentary, he says, like you're watching a play. Now some people watching the play, they get so involved that when the heroine is crying, they start crying. And when the hero is beating the villain, they get happy and they start punching their neighbor. You know, they get so involved in the play or in the movie. And this actually, people actually start crying in the movies and all. You've seen that. But a wise person says, this is just a story. You know, some director, you know, some writer wrote the story, and some director came up with the idea, and he collected a group of characters and he called one this and gave this one that name. And then the villain actually is one of the nicest guys, but he was given the role of a villain. And so they are all playing their part, and he watches and he enjoys the play. And then at the end he says, okay, that's it. He leaves. So a wise person sees that everybody in this world is playing their part according to their vasanas. There is a divine director who gives us the role suited to our temperaments. The kind of body I have is based on my vasanas. The kind of body you have. Why did I not get a pig body or a cat body? Because I had this desire to, you know, to evolve, and that's why I was given this human body. Like at this moment, I have this desire to speak, so I'm just, you know, babbling, you know, continuously. And you have this desire to listen, and so you are all sitting here listening. That is your vasana to listen, and that is my vasana to speak. So whatever we are doing is because of our vasanas. So the wise person says the vasanas will work, but I am not involved in that. He does whatever is required, but without getting affected by the world. His mind is always in purity. His mind is always loving, always compassionate. As I said, because he sees the one in all. He sees the one God. He says, my Krishna that has created me has created all of them. So they are all my brothers and sisters. I am one with them. And he does not distinguish between Hindu and Muslim and Christian and low caste and high caste, and whether he's Gujarati or Punjabi, or they are all me. That oneness he sees, and he becomes a witness. And he watches the play of the world. He says this world is like a play. And even Shakespeare said, you know, the world is like a play and we are all actors. So these writers are very sattvic. They are very close to the truth. Same thing Einstein. He was a very evolved soul. That's why they can write such beauty, or they can accomplish such things. And even Gurudev says that the whatever accomplishments we have seen in the world is because of these great masters. Now, Alexander the Great built a huge empire where practically the whole world that was known was under him. Now, where is the empire? Does anybody know where Alexander is or who he was? What happened to his empire? They say the sun never sets on the British Empire. And Britain ruled the whole world. And now what? They are a little island. Nothing. But what Mahatma Gandhi left us, what Jesus left us, what Shankaracharya left us, what Swami Chinmayananda left us, what Buddha left us, 2,500 years later, it is still growing. You know, there are more and more Buddhists and more people. So the permanent accomplishments are not made by scientists or by economists. Yeah, they make progress, you know, by politicians. They make limited amounts of progress and we need them. I'm not saying that we don't need scientists or politicians or economists or businessmen. We need them. But the lasting change that has been made in society has been made because of these great prophets. Their influence will be there even 5,000 years from now. Whenever there is a Chinmaya mission, you know, like this, Swami Chinmayananda will be remembered. Wherever there is a Buddhist temple, Buddha will be remembered. So that is what they're saying, that such a person sees the vasanas as his equipment. He uses them as needed, but na ingate, he is not disturbed. He is not na vichalyate, he does not get disturbed. He does not get shaken. He's like that flame that is without any breeze. So these are two beautiful verses. And as I said again and again, it is for us to apply in our life. And how can I change my behavior? And that is the only benefit of that. And if you wish to re-listen to these talks, Tony has put them on the website. It's called firstpower.info. You can go to firstpower.info. And just click Talks by Dr. Anil Mehta and you can listen to previous verses of the Bhagavad Gita and also other talks related to meditation. So we also have CDs. Actually, today I have this CD on meditation. I had given a talk which has been put on YouTube, but somebody recorded it. Diana's daughter, she recorded it. And then also some talks on meditation. So if you want to learn how to meditate and also some guided meditation, 10 and 20 minutes, it's only $5, so we have three talks here. You're welcome to take it. And that will help because meditation helps me to grow beyond. In my meditation, I go beyond the body, mind, and intellect and become one with the self. So we do have these CDs. Any comments? Any questions? Yeah, that is the knowledge. See, it's just that glass barrier which we have around the lamp so that all the winds may not. So that is the knowledge. Knowledge, and through meditation, he has become established in the truth. So he has created this barrier around him and the world's winds cannot affect him. Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramaya. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.